Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace in our lives, not just individually, but your grace that you have given this church. Lord, you have been so faithful to us over the years. You've provided for us financially, and Lord, you're doing that now. You're sustaining us, in fact, blessing us financially. You've also blessed us with a sense of unity. We look out in the world and we see very little unity. We see a lot of conflict and hatred and dysfunction. And Lord, you have given us a time of peace and unity and love for one another, and we see that as a fruit of the Spirit at work among us, so we thank you for it. We do not take it lightly or for granted. And now, Lord, we also ask that this service would be filled with your sense of your presence. That, Lord, while we serve you and we talk about you and we talk about what it means to follow you, that you would give us a vision for greater things. And so, Lord, now we ask for your hand in our service. Touch us, each of us, in our hearts, because we sat here this morning and heard the vision and the updates, Lord, and we'd be excited about where you're taking us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. At Brandywine Valley Baptist Church, we believe that a relationship with Jesus Christ transforms lives. You agree? You believe this? Amen. Probably one of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 5:17. In fact, I learned this in Awana when I was a little kid. Maybe you have as well. Passionate verse. It's a verse that tells us something important about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That the old is gone and new things have come. And I know for many of you here, as I look out and I know some of your stories, I know that that's your story, that you have seen God transform your life. We've heard it in baptism stories over and over again. For some of us, our story is that we grew up in the church and we grew up with a relationship with Jesus Christ, and because of that, we never became the person that maybe we would have if Christ would never have been given, had never given us his grace. And so we know that he changes lives. Some of us have seen him change not only life, we've seen him change our very purpose of why we exist, giving us a new sense of why we're here. We've seen him give us freedom and conquer areas of sin stronghold or addiction in our life or unbelief or fear. Some of us have seen him transform a marriage or a family. Some of us have seen him transform a neighborhood or a school, a community. He has transformed nations. If you read through the Bible and you look at church history, we have seen that. It's happened in this nation just a couple hundred years ago, actually. Jesus Christ is in the business of transforming lives, and it's precisely for that reason that our mission is to introduce people to Jesus Christ and then help them follow him, because he transforms lives. Now, we talk about our mission a lot. We've written it down. You see it throughout the building. But I wonder if you've actually thought about the words and the words that we've used, particularly the word introduce. Maybe you just kind of fly by that. You don't really think about it deeply. But the word introduce is an incredibly powerful relational term, isn't it? Some of you are sitting next to a significant other because somebody bothered to introduce you to each other and said, you know what? You two would make an amazing pair. I think the two of you should meet each other. For some of you, you're in a business partnership that has been incredibly successful because of an introduction. Or you have a great best friend because somebody bothered to introduce you to somebody that they thought, you know what? This would be a great person for you to meet. They care enough about you to make that introduction. Our responsibility, our role as a church in this community is to make great introductions. To introduce people in a loving way, in a personal way, in an intentional way, to the greatest person that's ever lived. The person who redefines our very purpose and our life's existence, redefines truth, the one who gives us freedom and healing and hope and joy, the person of Jesus Christ. to introduce people to Jesus Christ. This is why we exist in our community. Now, I have a theory. I have a theory that most people in our community think that they've already been introduced to Jesus. Most people think they kind of already know him. Yeah, I know about Jesus. Maybe, you know, they've heard about him, or maybe they grew up in going to church. You know, they've heard about him on the radio, or they've seen preachers here and there. Maybe they think they've already been introduced to Jesus Christ, but they probably haven't met the real Jesus Christ. Many people think that they have been introduced to Jesus because maybe they went to a church, but what instead of being introduced to the real Jesus Christ, they were introduced to religion. They were introduced to, you go through these hoops, you do these things to sort of avoid hell and make sure, you know, God likes you or cares about you. As long as you do these things. They haven't met the real Jesus. Maybe they grew up in a church that was just sort of spoke words that they didn't really understand, or sang songs that they didn't understand, or seemed so just sort of mind-numbingly boring and irrelevant that they say, I don't know, I heard about Jesus, but I have no idea of why he should matter in my life. They think they know who Jesus is. For some people, the introduction they had to Jesus was actually one for them that brought a lot of hurt, because somebody that they knew, or maybe it was a church experience that really hurt them and turned them off. I was talking to somebody recently, and we were talking about Jesus, and they said, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. So, well, why is that? He said, because the person who introduced me to Jesus was my father, and he was an abusive alcoholic. And I said, I'm sorry that the person that introduced you to Jesus portrayed Jesus in that way, but I'd love to get the opportunity to tell you about the real Jesus. I think most people think that they've already been introduced to Jesus. That's been my experience as I get to know people and talk to them in this community. And so it's so important, so critical that we introduce people to the real Jesus. And we do it in a way in which they can relate and understand and access this wonderful person and how radically he transforms lives. And this is why this is a monumental task. This is a big, hairy, audacious goal that we have as a church. It's a BHAG, as they call it in the business world. Our mission is essentially to help every man, woman, and child in this community to be introduced to Jesus Christ and help them follow him. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. Now, how do we accomplish this? Well, it's probably not going to be taking a bunch of tracks and throwing them on cars out in the parking lot. Probably not how we're going to do it. It's probably not going to be trying to do, you know, a big evangelistic rally like Billy Graham-like kind of thing. It's probably not how we're going to do it. Some of those things may have been helpful or worked in the past. A time when, you know, we lived in a God-fearing Judeo-Christian society, maybe that still had prayer and Bibles in schools. I don't know if you've been out recently. That's not the world we live in. We are in a post-Christian context where introducing people to Jesus Christ requires thoughtfulness, winsomeness, creativity, passion. So we need to rethink this. We can't just go do things the way we always have done them in the past. We need to be discerning and thoughtful about the times in which we live. And this is why we've developed our core values as a church. Our core values of a church really exist to provide an unwavering guide that helps us discern how we accomplish our mission. And so we really strive to do everything according to these values that we believe will help us to accomplish that mission. Every decision we make, every program or ministry that we pursue, how we spend our time or train and develop our leaders, every dollar that we spend and budget that we propose, like the one we're going to do a little later today, should be guided by our core values. Now, you'll be hearing from some of our ministry staff in just a few minutes of how ministry areas have been guided and are being guided by our core values, but I want to just share a couple of highlights of the ones that you see up here on the screen. It's because of our mission to make these great introductions that we have a value of excellence, relevance, and innovation. We believe that that people need to experience Christ at the place that they are, in a relevant way where they are. It's why when we preach sermons, we look to connect these ancient truths of Scripture to people's everyday lives, where they work and live and play. It's why we're doing currently a series like Skeptical, where we're addressing the very questions that you have and the people in our community have. So we can do that in a relevant and excellent way that connects with where they are. And it's why we are pursuing various upgrades around the church to our decor, our visibility, how we make this place a welcoming place, how it can connect to a culture that's growing up, many without church or have been de-churched at some point in their lives. Our mission drives our values, not just of excellence, relevance, and innovation, but our mission of, or our value of being a meaningful, pursuing meaningful membership and community, because we believe that people need to be met where they are. When they walk through these doors, we want them to know that this is a place they belong, that we've designed this place with them in mind. So we've been expecting you to come, and we're so glad you're here. And then helping walk them through a process of being connected more meaningfully to this church. And so we are currently reevaluating how are we doing our connection process? How are we helping walk people where they are in a relationship with one another and with God? And so that's one of the things that you can expect us to do with even greater intentionality. But it's also because of this value that we're pursuing a greater training for our shepherds and our leaders and our lay ministers and developing them so that they can care for the congregation and serve them and help them with greater intentionality become disciples. These are all important things that we're working on. It's because of our mission that it drives us towards gospel partnerships. Let me be really clear. Our mission, being successful in our mission, is not growing a bigger church or bigger budgets or a bigger staff. You've heard me say that before. That's not what it's about for us. What it's about is that when the churches in the greater Wilmington area, in the Brandywine Valley, are all working together, rowing in the same direction, saying, yeah, we're all sharing the mission of helping to introduce every man, woman, and child to Jesus Christ and helping them follow him. When all the churches are working together, and this is why we want to bring our resources that we have as a church. It's why it's so important to pay down our debt. Bring our resources to the church to help other churches, maybe revitalizing churches, partnering with other churches, other ministries in this community, so we can all be working towards that same goal. And there's much more of that to come in the future, very exciting, that I don't have time to talk about this morning. But we want to be able to place those resources towards areas that are in most need, in communities, in children's, in youth, in our community, in addiction recovery, in marriages, in all kinds of different ways in our community. You know, in January, we're going to be celebrating 50 years as a church. Isn't that amazing? 50 years that God has been gracious to us as a church. And it's been amazing. God has brought transformation in many, many lives throughout these years. And if we're going to be successful moving forward, if we're going to, in the next 50 years, see even more effective ministry, it's going to be because that we stand firm on the essentials of our faith. We stand firm on the message of the gospel that is passed down to us from generation to generation, passionately preaching and teaching the gospel, but it's also going to be because we are willing to be creative and willing to take risks and willing to look out to our culture and say, how do we reach a new culture? And we hope that you'll join us on that, because we need you. We're going to need everybody to excel in this mission. This is not something that, you know, Pastor Nate's excited about or the staff is excited about. This needs to be something that all of us get excited about. Say, yeah, I want to be a part of that. I want to pick up a brick and build the building in this direction. Everybody getting involved. You know, we have a mantra here that we strive for 100% spiritual employment. 100% spiritual employment. That means everybody working according to their gifting and their passions and their talents is working together to build up the church, build up the faith, and accomplish the mission. This is what we hope you will do. So, how can you make introductions of Jesus in our community? How are you doing that? How are you doing that? Maybe you can do it just by being a part of the welcome team here. Maybe it starts out in the parking lot for you, where you can greet people with a smile and a hello out in the parking lot so that when they come, they can say there's something that you're telling them about who Jesus is, that he cares, he sees them, and he's so glad that they're here. Maybe it's by helping people see and hear Jesus well in our audio video team. Maybe it's by leading a small group so people can understand and discern what it really means to follow Jesus in their everyday life. And maybe it's out there by being the hands and feet of Jesus out in our community so that people know that he cares and he sees them and he loves them. Where are you serving? Where are you making introductions? This is our hope. This is our call. And so if you're sort of a bystander, if you're on the sidelines right now, our encouragement is to you is to get in. Find a place and jump in to that mission of making introductions. And we hope that you will consider being a part of Brandywine as we go forward in that mission. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us a mission. Your mission is clear. We didn't come up with it. Lord, it's right there in the Great Commission. Jesus himself said to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them and teach them to obey everything that you have commanded, to walk with you. And so, Lord, we have our marching orders. Help us to do that. Not so we can pat ourselves on the back, but so that you get the glory. Not to increase numbers or budgets, Lord, heaven forbid, but so that people can experience a life transformation and be able to know you forever. So Lord, help us to do that with a greater sense of passion and focus and zeal and clarity. And Lord, now we ask that